Pathway today. Please join us as we worship God and hear His word.
Lord, You're so awesome. You're so awesome and deserving. Deserving of that praise this morning. We love You, Lord. Oh, sovereign God, oh, matchless King, the saints adore, the angels sing, and fall before the throne of grace. To You belongs the highest praise. These sufferings, this passing tide, under Your wings I will abide, and every enemy shall flee. You are
thank you that your word says that your love is as high and deep as it is long and wide. And that love that we can somehow, it's almost impossible to fathom how immeasurable that love is, Lord. But we know it's everlasting. And we thank you for that love that you give to us so freely. And Lord, I pray that you would stir up a heart of love in us. But Lord, our response would be to love you somehow with the measure of the way that you love us. But Lord, that love would flow out of us and overflow and touch others and would swell up, and we would not be able to help but to lift our hands and worship and exalt you, Lord, and love you, Lord, and say how wide and how deep and how strong is your love, Lord. Let's sing this out together. You ready? How high. Our love is overflowing for you, Lord. How high.
From whom all blessings flow. Praise
sin, all creatures here below. Praise Him above, ye heavenly hosts. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost.
Well, good morning to you, and for those who are watching online, it's great to have you with us today. How is everyone today? Good? Good. Excellent. Yesterday morning, I had the amazing privilege of going and spending some time with one of our discipleship communities. The 3D Arts creative leaders were down on Phillip Island, and they were having a retreat this weekend, and they asked me to come and speak to them yesterday morning, which I was very, very happy to do. And so I hopped in my little car, and I headed down to Phillip Island, hour and a half, 2 hours away from our house. And I had a great time in the car. I was by myself. I turned on the music. It was blaring. I was singing, top of my lungs. It was fantastic. Very good drive down there. And then I spent time with the team and chatted to them about some value stuff and about the character of God. And I had a great morning. It was really good. It was a full day because I had to do that. And then I needed to be back here at Crossway to speak to the congregation at 5 o'clock last night. And so when I hopped back in my car at Phillip Island and I decided to drive home, I was a little concerned when the engine lights started to flash. And then the car started to go like it was going to stall. And I thought, oh no. And so as I sort of gingerly took off out and I thought maybe it'll right itself, that's what happens in my brain, I realised it was not going to do that, and I could see that there was a service station coming up. So I pulled into the service station, and knowing that there was something mechanically wrong with my car, I made the only call that you should make where there is a problem with a car. I called my husband, not roadside assistance. And I said, there's something wrong with the car, the engine light's flashing and it's going and he goes, okay. It was pouring with rain. He said, you need to get out, you need to pop the bonnet, you need to have a look at all of the fluids. These are the fluids you need to check, make sure that they're okay. And so I did that. And then I called him back and I said, they're all fine. I even topped up the coolant and it was fine. And he goes, okay, well, all right. I'm an hour and a half away, so I can come and get you, but it's going to cause massive delay for the rest of the day. So I think probably what you should do, since all of the fluids are okay and you're not going to fry the engine, you should just keep going and let's just hope for the best and just ease your way home. Well, I can tell you that the drive home was significantly different than the drive there, yeah? The music wasn't on, I wasn't singing, the car was going, and my anxiety and stress rate was up here. So there was this interesting kind of release that happened when I talked to a familiar voice and told him about it, and the anxiety went down a little bit. But as soon as I turned on the engine of the car and took off again, the anxiety started to build. And I did manage to get home. The car took me all the way home. But the problem is that there was this feeling that I had with the stress and the anxiety that was building that told me something is wrong. Something is wrong with this car. See, I don't need a car that takes me from A to B with anxiety and worry. What I need is a car that is fixed, that I don't have to think about. It works the way that it was meant to work. I'm not dealing with the anxiety of it. And as I was driving and I was thinking about this message that I was going to share with you this weekend, it really hit me that life is so much like that. We don't need a life that is causing us anxiety and drag and concern constantly, and this feeling that hangs over us and hangs over so many of us that there is something not quite right. What we actually need is freedom and breakthrough. What we actually need is for our lives to be functioning the way they were designed to function. And so as I'm sitting in this car and thinking about that and thinking about what we're going to be talking about today, it made me think of how so many of us live with shackles and a drag in our lives. That we're just carrying around something the way that it was not meant to be. This is, can I tell you, heavy. I think it's 25 kilos. And it's heavy. This drag, this ball and chain that I am carrying right now, there is a drag. I know that something is not right. And if I walk around like this for long enough, then it's going to sap me of my energy. It's going to sap me of my passion. It's going to sap me of my potential because I was not designed to walk around with that ball and that chain attached to me. And yet so many of us live in life with that kind of feeling. Something is not right. Something is dragging me. Something is pulling me back, and I'm not living in the freedom that Christ has called me to. So we're looking at Romans chapter 6 today, and we're starting from verse 15. And Paul says this: "Well then, since God's grace has set us free from the law, does that mean we can go on sinning? Of course not. Don't you realize that you become the slave of whatever you choose to obey? You can be a slave to sin, which leads to death, or you can choose to obey God, which leads to righteous living. Thank God, once you were slaves of sin, but now you wholeheartedly obey this teaching we have given you. Now you are free from your slavery to sin, and you have become slaves to righteous living. Because of the weakness of your human nature, I'm using the illustration of slavery to help you understand all this. Previously, you let yourselves be slaves to impurity and lawlessness, which led ever deeper into sin. Now you must give yourselves to be slaves to righteous living so that you will become holy. When you were slaves to sin, you were free from the obligation to do right. And what was the result? You are now ashamed of the things you used to do, things that end in eternal doom. But now you are free from the power of sin and have become slaves of God. Now you do those things that lead to holiness and result in eternal life. For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord." Now Paul is using this metaphor of slavery for the Roman Christian church. He's talking to them about slavery because it's something that they understand. And in some ways it's difficult for us to get our head around it because we don't know what it's like to live in slavery. I mean, we live in a world that has slavery, probably more now than there has ever been. 127 million estimated in our world to be in slavery. But in our culture, in our society, we don't really understand what it's like to live in slavery. I mean, I'm constantly using the phrase, "I am not your personal slave," in my house, as I have children who are, they just like to order me around, you know, "Mummy, can you get me a pen? Mummy, can you make me whatever?" And my response is, "I'm not your personal slave." But that's about as close as it gets for me to understanding what slavery is, yeah? But we do know what it's like to be trapped. All of us can think of some situation where we have been trapped, where we are tied to something in a way that we feel helpless to get away from. See, when Paul was speaking to the Roman Christian community, they did slavery really well. 35 to 40% of people in the Roman kingdom, empire at that time, were in slavery. They were slaves. And you could be a slave in any profession apart from public office. You could have a doctor slave. You could have an accountant slave. And the slave would be owned by their master. And their master would dictate what the slave would do. And the slave would be forced, under threat of death, to obey what the master wanted. So they were just there to do the master's bidding. And what ended up happening for those slaves is that they felt trapped. They felt that drag. They had, really, the shackles, whether the shackles were there physically or not. The shackles were around them in life because there was no way for them to escape. There was no way for them to get out of that bondage that they were in. And what Paul's saying to the Roman Christian church here, what he's saying to these Christians is, he's saying, you were trapped like that. Before Jesus died for your sins, you were trapped like that. You were a slave to sin. You didn't know how to do right. You only knew how to live a life of sin because you were a slave to sin. But then what he's saying is, actually in life, whoever you choose to obey is who you will be in slavery to. And so you don't have to be a slave to sin. When Jesus died for you, he actually broke you out of that slavery. He broke the padlock on the chains. You don't have to be a slave to sin anymore. You can choose instead to be obedient to Christ, because that brings freedom. That's what he's saying to them. So he actually uses this term and he says to them, don't be a slave to sin, be a slave to righteous living. Which is fascinating, because I would have expected that he would have said, don't be a slave to sin, be free. But he actually means exactly the same thing. Because dedicating yourself to righteous living, dedicating yourself to an obedient life in Christ, is actually the same thing as pursuing freedom. In fact, the pathway to freedom and the pathway to your potential and your destiny is obedience to Christ. They are one and the same thing. It's difficult sometimes for us to understand that, because when we think about the word obedience and we think about righteousness, we can come up with all of these different ideas about how somehow that's limiting us, somehow that's caging us, somehow that's tying us down, that if you're obedient to somebody, then you have to do their bidding. But you see, if you're obedient to righteousness, if you're obedient to Jesus, you're actually being obedient to somebody who is out for your best interests. God is for us. You see, a slave driver makes the slave do everything for the benefit of the slave driver. But if righteousness is your master, then everything that the slave does to righteousness is for the benefit of the slave. It's extraordinary, because really it comes down to this understanding of the character of God and what he wants for us and who he is and how he is wanting to bless us. The things that God puts in place for righteous living are actually good for us. They're good for our soul. I think just even of the one quick example from the Old Testament, you know, people talk about, you know, the Ten Commandments. And so often people will go, oh, you know, Christianity, it's just all rules and regulations. If you follow Jesus, then it's all just about rules and regulations. You know, like the Ten Commandments, because the Ten Commandments are such a high bar. Like, thou shalt not murder, which apparently is cramping our style. And so people will kind of come at us with that. But the fascinating thing about the Ten Commandments is that they were given to the people of Israel as they were being formed into a nation after God had rescued them out of 400 years of slavery. And then he says to them, this is the kind of people I want you to be. People who are free, people who are a great community, people who love each other and work for each other and love me and serve me. And it's going to make you into brilliant people. And it's going to make you into a brilliant nation. And then he gives them some commands, like, thou shalt not murder. And he says this, you need to have a Sabbath. You need to have a day off. One day in the week, you need to rest. Now, you might look at that and go, oh, gosh, well, that's harsh. You know, like, that's really putting some, you know, some boundaries there for them. But let's consider for a second. The Israelites' people had been in Egypt under oppression and in slavery for 400 years. They never got a break. And then all of a sudden, God comes along and he says, hey, you have to rest. You need to rest. You see, that was freeing for them. It was a rule, it was a regulation that was put before them, righteousness placed before them so that they would be free, so that they would be able to rest, so that they would learn that the rhythm of life requires rest and restoration and time with God, so that they would be able to flourish as people. And sometimes we need to be able to get through our thick head that God places rules around us and God places values around us so that we will flourish, because he is for us. He's not asking for us to come into slavery so he can be a dictator. He's asking for our obedience so that we can reach the potential he always dreamed we would have. Now, the fascinating thing is that when Jesus died and he broke the chains of slavery for us, he broke the power of sin. For so many of us, we know that to be true, but we simply will not let go of the chains. See, because you may have read in the scripture that Jesus died for your sins, that he has forgiven you, that he has freed you, that he has broken the chains and he has brought you to a place of freedom. But you don't feel free. You feel that drag. You know that there is something that is not right. And the chains are still there. And I want to tell you today, he broke them. He is into breaking chains and he is into breaking us free. But too many of us are choosing to stay trapped. And it's for many reasons. I think there are two main problems for us when it comes to breaking free from the slavery. One is that we argue with God about what freedom actually is. And the second one is that we won't let go of the chains. And so I want to look today at some things that keep us chained, things that keep us holding on to those chains, things that make us feel like we haven't actually experienced the freedom that he has given us. And there's a few, and for a few different reasons. The first one is denial. Denial is not just a river in Egypt. Oh, she said it. Ha ha, hilarious dad joke. Yeah, brilliant. I'm not even a dad, and I get to say dad jokes. Denial. What keeps us chained? What keeps us holding on to those chains? For some of us, it's simply a belief that we're not chained. It's a belief that we ourselves are experiencing freedom when in actual fact what we are experiencing is bondage. Some of us have the idea around the wrong way. If I held up a goldfish in a tank before you today, and I said to you, this goldfish is trapped. It's trapped in the tank. It needs to be released. It needs to be freed. You'd think I was crazy, right? Because if I freed the goldfish and took the goldfish out of the tank, the goldfish would die. The goldfish actually needs the boundary in the same way that we need obedience and righteousness in order to thrive, to survive, to live, to reach the destiny that we were created for. But so many of us are arguing with God about what freedom actually is. And we come to him and we go, oh, come on, that's a bit archaic, isn't it? You know, this is the 21st century, freedom, you know. You should be able to do what you want. And isn't freedom about being able to do whatever you want? Isn't freedom being able to just kind of grab hold of whatever feels good and feels right and just, you know, I'm free, man, I'm free. And somehow we come to God and we argue the point with him when he actually created us and knows best about what is good for us and what is right for us. And we're arguing the point with the Lord Almighty. Sometimes I just go, like, what is that? Why? I'll give you an example. Over the past couple of weeks, and especially in Melbourne, there's been a lot of talk about violence against women, and rightly so. It's tragic. It's tragic, it's sad, it's disgusting, it's despicable. And it's wrong that our culture and that our society should have so much unchecked violence toward women. But the very same culture will tell you that pornography is freedom. That's okay. It's cool. Like, you know, it's 21st century, right? You should just be able to just check out porn whenever you want, and why shouldn't you be able to do that? Because it's free, man. You can't tell me what you want to do or what I should do, and don't put your morals and your values onto me because, hey, I'm free. Well, I want to tell you something. Pornography may feel free when it starts, but it is bondage when it becomes an addiction. And you cannot have a society that condemns violence toward women and calls pornography freedom at the same time. Because as long as the two of them are there, they will both exist. They will both exist. You cannot have one without the other. Porn is an addiction and it is a bondage. And so coming to God and arguing with him about what freedom actually looks like doesn't get us anywhere. We need to acknowledge that God knows what he's talking about, that his morals are right. They are good for us. They are right for us, and they are the pathway to freedom, and they are the pathway to our destiny. The second thing, I think, is just simply a lack of hope. You know, hopelessness and helplessness is epidemic in our society. And really, you know, it ties in with denial, because that process when you start something feeling free and then it becomes an addiction that starts to bring you into bondage, it takes you to a place of feeling completely hopeless. That there is no way out. And you may be thinking to yourself, yeah, I know Jesus died to break the chains. Right, sheep? I don't know how to let go. And I don't know that I ever will let go. It's there. I'm shackled. What can I do? I've tried. I've tried so hard. How dare you stand there and tell me that I can be free? Because I am hopeless and helpless to do something about it. And I want to say this to you. Jesus is hope. There are so many people who serve so many gods and so many religions in this world, but Jesus is hope. He brings hope, and he is a bondage breaker, and there is hope. Don't allow yourself to believe that there is no hope. It might be that you need help, and you probably do. It might be that you need to go and sit with someone who's got some idea about the situation you're in and to say to them, I've been holding on to these chains so long that my hand is cramped up and I don't know how to let go, but I need help. Can you please help me? I refuse to believe that I will never, ever release these chains. But don't lose hope, because the God that you serve is the God of hope. The next one is just simply a lack of worth. Wow, this is a big one too, right? In my work, I see a lot of foster kids. And I hear a lot of stories about foster kids, and they give a really good example of what this is like. Because so often a child will come into the foster care system, they might have experienced trauma, they might have experienced neglect. And they come into a home, and what we like to do in my organization, ARC, is to place them into families, godly families, where they can grow and thrive, where they are loved and looked after, where the father heart of God is displayed to them. And you would think that that would be the promised land to someone who's experienced trauma and neglect. And yet so many of these kids try to break the placement down. And they'll do anything they can to upturn it through their behavior and everything else that they try to do. And it's not because they don't want to be happy. It's because something within them says, I am not worthy. I'm not worthy of this. I am not worth this freedom. And the reality is that for so many of us, we feel exactly the same way. And you could be sitting there today and thinking to yourself, man, if you could see in my soul, like, I give a pretty good impression on the outside, but if you could see my mind and if you could see my soul and if you could see everything within me, then you would agree that I'm not worth it and I'm not worthy of the freedom that Christ is offering. And hey, guess what? That may even be true. But I'm not the one who thought that you were worth dying for. Jesus did. And he gave his life for your freedom. So don't stand before him and say, I'm not worth that, when he has given his own life for you. You are worthy of freedom. He already gave his life to prove it. The next one is, for so many of us, we just simply believe lies. You know, the enemy does not want you free. And he wants to plant a whole lot of thoughts in your head about why freedom shouldn't be yours, why you should not let go of those chains, why you should be tied and you should be a slave and you should be enslaved. And so he'll throw a whole lot of things into your mind. You know, I love it when my kids come home from school sometimes and they say, well, such and such called me an idiot. And most mums would probably go, oh, darling, you're not an idiot. But I don't say that. And they say, oh, such and such called me an idiot. I say, well, are you an idiot? And the response is, no. And then it's like, well, there you go, right? Like, are we in the business of believing lies? Why do we walk around believing lies? Why do we allow things that pop into our head or ideas that we have or things that are said about us or things that we perceive that people think about us when they're not actually thinking about us at all? And we get all of those things and we cram them all together and we shove them into our brain and we go, I'm going to behave according to those lies. Guess what? I want to be able to turn off that switch. I want to be able to turn off the lie switch and just go, I'm only listening to truth, so therefore I'm only listening to God. I'm only listening to what he has to say about me because he knows everything about me and so therefore qualifies to speak about me. What is it that he says about me? What is it that he has done for me? What is it that he sees within me? And to focus on that and go, hey, guess what? I'm going to fill my mind with that truth and not choose to believe lies. We need to be able to identify a lie and drop it. And the last one is this, bad examples. You might be thinking to yourself, well, I know a whole lot of self-righteous people, and they don't seem free to me. And you know what? You're right. They're not. Paul says this in Galatians 5:1. He says, it's for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm then, and do not let yourselves be burdened again by a yoke of slavery. In that passage, he is speaking to people who are grabbing hold of slavery, even though they had already been given freedom. It's for freedom that Christ set you free. Guess what? He died so that you would be free. So live in freedom. Don't live in slavery. And yet so often what happens is that we, as followers of Jesus, go, oh, Christ set me free, so therefore I'm going to create a whole lot of rigid rules that he never asked me to live by. And I'm going to put myself in this little box called legalism. And I'm going to live exactly that way so that I can pretend like I am living righteous. But I want to tell you, that is not actually righteousness. And it's not obedience. And it is not the pathway to freedom. Legalism is its own chains. Legalism is its own slavery. And what happens when we become legalistic and we become self-righteous is that we start to look at other people and we judge them for certain things that aren't even required by God. Oh, well, you can't do that. And, well, that's, you know, I'm not quite sure about that. And we start to point the finger at people when it's not even something that God has requested of them. It's not something found in Scripture. It's just something that somebody at some point came up with and said, this is the way that Christians should behave. And I want to tell you, that is just as much slavery as living a life of sin. We have chosen too often to ignore the fact that Jesus broke the chains and to simply keep holding on. And as we walk through life with this drag, with this heavy weight around us, then we start to question and say, is the freedom that he offered me really real? And it's not because it's not real. It's because we won't let go. We won't allow ourselves to live in the freedom that he has provided for us. And as we walk around through life, we feel that drag, we feel that anxiety, we feel that stress. Something is not right. Something needs to be fixed. And by the way, do you know the first job of a slave to righteousness? Somebody who truly understands what it's like to live without the shackles and to be free is to show other people the way to freedom. It's to show other people how to drop the chains. Show other people and speak to other people and introduce other people to the chain breaker, to the lock breaker, to Jesus, because he wants to break the chains of everyone. He wants for us to be living in the freedom and the destiny and the potential that he created us for. And so our job is to be able to come to others and say, hey, guess what? You know the shackles that are around you? I want to show you how to drop those, how to be free. Let me introduce you to Jesus. And for other people who already know Jesus to go, hey, you're still holding on to those chains. Can I show you how to drop them? Can I show you a way out? I think about this illustration, actually, that I heard on The West Wing about 20 years ago, would you believe? But it stuck in my mind. There was a man, he was who's down a hole, who is stuck down a hole, and he's calling out to passers-by, "Hey, I'm stuck down this hole, can you help me?" And a doctor walks past and throws down a prescription. It's like, thanks. And a priest walks past and throws down a prayer. Thanks. And then a friend walks past and he jumps in the hole. The man goes, "What are you doing? Now we're both trapped." And the man goes, "Yeah, I know, but I know the way out." You see, our job as slaves to righteousness is to show people how to drop the chains too, so that we can all be pursuing the freedom that Christ has already paid for. I wonder if you'd stand with me right now. We're going to do something a little bit different. Because for some of us, we know what those chains are. And as I've been talking, you know in your own heart, in your own soul, what it is that is causing that drag. What it is that you haven't let go of, but what it is that is causing the anxiety in your soul where you're saying something is not right. And I haven't experienced that full freedom that you're talking about. You know what it is. For others of us, we know the freedom. We know what it's like to have dropped those chains. And we need to commit to being chain breakers for others, to helping others break those chains and to show them a hope and a future. So for each of us right across this room right now, and for those who are watching online, I want you to hold those chains up physically right now. You're looking at me like I'm strange. Physically right now. Hold those chains up before you. And we're going to pray. And in a moment, as I pray, we're going to drop them before the Lord. But we're going to hold them tight right now before him and present ourselves to him like that. Jesus, I thank you so much that you are a bondage breaker, that you desire our freedom, that you desire our destiny, that you desire our potential be reached, that you created us for a purpose, and that you see everything within our soul. For all of us standing before you today, both here and online, you know what the chains are. For some of us, you know the people that you want to send us to help with the chain dropping. Lord, you see it all, and you love us, and you so desperately want to move us on from this place and to show us what true freedom is. Even for those of us, Lord, who need help with dropping the chains properly, we are standing before you today, all of us, with those chains held up before you. Grateful to you that you have already done everything that needs to be done to break the lock. That as you died on that cross and as your blood flowed down that cross, it melted away the lock that has kept us in slavery. And yet we still hold these chains. And so out of our gratitude to you and out of a desire and a hope for our own freedom, right now before you, Lord God Almighty, we drop those chains. We drop them. We all drop them before you. And we ask, Lord God, by your Holy Spirit, that you would give us a new beginning, that you would restore our hope, that, Lord, you would release us into obedience that brings freedom, that you would release us into newness of life. I thank you for your grace, and I thank you that you have miraculous power to transform, and that right now you are doing exactly that. You are the chain breaker. You are the freedom giver. You are the deliverer. You are the redeemer. And we put our trust in you. Just in this moment as we're praying, just give yourselves afresh to him. You might want to raise your hands to him. You might want to put your hands out to receive from heaven. Holy Spirit, I pray that right now you would come and fill us afresh. And fill us up with hope. Jesus, your name is power. Jesus, your name is might. Jesus, your name will break every stronghold. Jesus, your name gives life. Jesus, your name brings healing. Jesus, your name brings sight. Jesus, your name will set free the captives. Jesus, your name gives life. And we will lift your name on high. We choose to lift your name on high. We lift your name like a banner in the sky. We will lift your name on high. Jesus, your name is holy. Jesus, your name is right. Jesus, your name above every other. Jesus, your name gives life. And we will lift your name on high. We choose to lift your name on high. We lift your name like a banner in the sky. We will lift your name on high. We choose to lift your name on high.
Our Father in heaven, that is the desire of our hearts, that your name would be lifted high. And Lord Jesus, that really does happen as lives are set free. Thank you that you've done everything that needs to be done to break the bondage, to set people free. It says it in your word, you set the captives free, and may it be so even in this place. Father, we're about to move out. We're about to move out into our community where actually the real game is going to take place. And you've sown truth into our hearts. You've moved and filled us afresh with your Holy Spirit. So as we head out, help us to carry the name of Jesus well into our families, our workplaces, and our communities, our places of study. May we live well, therefore we can bring glory to the name of Jesus. That's our ultimate prayer. And we give you thanks for today. In Jesus' name, and God's people said, amen. Amen. How about we express our appreciation for just a great word today? Thanks so much, Heather.
Creation, eternity in your hands. You spoke the earth into motion, my soul now to stand. You stood before my carried the cross for my shame. My sin weighed upon your shoulders, my soul now to stand. So what could I say? And what could I do? Offer this heart, oh God, completely to you. So I'll walk upon salvation. Your spirit alive in me. This life to declare your promise.
Joining us today. If you have prayer needs or would like to discuss your personal relationship with God, we have people waiting to speak with you and to pray for you. Our telephone lines are open for the next 30 minutes, so why not phone us now on 03 9886 3700. To buy a copy of today's message on CD, send a cheque for $6 to Crossway Resource Centre, 2 Vision Drive, Burwood East, Vic 3151. Remember, our telephone help is open right now for the next 30 minutes on 03 9886 3700. Our Sunday services, including Children's Church, run at 8:45 a.m, 10:15 a.m, 11:45 a.m and 6 p.m. at the Crossway Centre in Burwood East. We also hold Cantonese, Mandarin, Indonesian and Korean services, plus satellite services at Craigieburn and Moreland, youth on Friday nights and young adults on Tuesdays. To help support the cost of producing this weekly radio program, send your donation to Crossway Radio Ministry, 2 Vision Drive, Burwood East, Vic 3151. For more information about Crossway, visit us on the web at crossway.org.au.
With arms high, heart abandoned.